Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and today I have my good friend Kelly here with me from Moxie Creative, and we're going to just talk about mostly websites, but we're also going to get into a little bit more branding. And I get so many questions about how to get started with a website and, you know, just directions where we can go. And I think that a lot of my success is realizing that I am not an expert at everything or hardly anything, but I find the people that are and I become friends with them, and then they tell me all their secrets. No, not quite. But so Kelly is here to share with us. So please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about Moxie. Tell us, yeah, just your background and we'll kind of get going.
Well, my name is Kelly Kane. I am the owner and director of marketing at Moxie Creative. We're a full service creative agency right here in downtown St. Cloud, Minnesota.
So Kelly and I actually met, I've shared with you guys before that I am part of a networking group, and I firmly believe that that is a huge asset to any business is, you know, to be part of a chamber or a networking group or, you know, something like that. And ours is pretty unique. It's pretty special. It was about a year ago that I was first introduced to it, but just surrounding yourself with different industries. And Kelly actually a couple weeks ago or about a month ago was after, I shouldn't even say the time that Facebook and Instagram crashed, because I think it happens a lot more often than people even realize, but it was after a crash. And in my mind, I was like, okay, eventually I want to do a podcast episode on how to, you know, website 101. And because I'm starting, you know, the Sunny Marymeadow podcast is all about growing and selling cut flowers, but a lot of people have questions on just general business. Right. And Kelly shared, you know, if you build your website on a certain platform and those platforms crash, now your website's down. And I didn't even realize, similar to social media, similar to an email list, a website can crash. So do you remember what your, because we each get like a 60-second commercial. Do you remember what your commercial was? Something on there?
The general message, yeah. So any website can crash if the hosting server crashes. So you want to be on a reputable host, okay? Like GoDaddy's a host, or there's other ones. And sometimes GoDaddy goes down. But I think what I was talking about was like Squarespace or Wix, and even Shopify. Those are kind of borrowed websites, I like to call them, because you're using their platform to build the website, which is really easy for a DIYer. And when you're a small business owner, you're duped into thinking you're supposed to DIY everything, including marketing. And so you put up a website on these platforms, but what people don't understand is although you probably own your domain name, your URL, you do not own that website. You're basically renting it from them, so that if you ever wanted to take it and do a different type of a website, you can't. It's on their platform forever, kind of a thing, or it's not. So yeah, if Wix or Squarespace or even Shopify goes down, then your website's down.
So what would you advise? And I think, you know, we can really get into, you know, auditing your time and figuring out, you know, for me, like I'll stick to the flowers and have other people do the parts, because otherwise I'm a marketer and I wanted to be a flower farmer, or now I'm a marketer or a website builder, or I'm Googling how to code things. So I think, you know, I want to in this episode go through, you know, if you're just getting started and maybe you don't have the budget to hire someone right away, and that's a very realistic, you know, most people don't, but something that can get transitioned when you do eventually hire someone, or, you know, where would you even get started? And, you know, we'll say you have a flower farm, but maybe we could pick something a little more commerce, like candles. Let's say I make my own candles or something like that. Like, okay. Where would you get started?
I want to back up and say what you said, that, you know, maybe you don't have the money to hire someone right away. Again, I think we're duped into thinking we shouldn't spend money on marketing, but I know many businesses that will spend a ton of money on the equipment or inventory or a building or what have you to start their business. Not everyone's an at-home business, but then they didn't budget anything for marketing. So if we can back way, way, way up, if you go to the bank for a loan to start your business, which some people do, marketing is a bona fide expense. Okay. It's a tax write-off. It's important for your business and it's a legit expense. Again, I think we're all you know, commercialize the thinking.
If we build it, they will come. I just need to make a Facebook page and everyone will find it.
Right. Just do social media. You don't need a website. So, I mean, again, marketing's a legit expense. If you go through the process of doing a business plan, there's always a marketing component to it. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that people don't seem to budget for it.
Absolutely. And I wish that I had obviously known that when I first got started. Now I do have a budget line for marketing. Now I do, you know, figure that out. And, you know, part of it, I kind of consider this podcast part of my marketing, you know, whether it's paid ads, whether it's, you know, just the platform, whether it's whatever. I used to think of a website as, oh, just the landing page and a cost of doing business and a way for my customers to find my Facebook page. And now I'm like, oh my God, I had that so backwards. I thought my website would be how they could find my Facebook. No. That's not what you want.
Well, I think when business owners start out, the biggest thing they need first is an identity, you know, or a brand or a logo, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Sometimes we skip over that part because we don't have a budget or we just can't envision what our business will be. But actually that is a very important part of getting started. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do it yourself, and it doesn't mean you have to hire a full service award-winning agency like Moxie Creative.
P.S. After this, we're sitting down and Kelly is redoing my logo for me anyway, but because an example of someone who didn't think of that right away, and now I'm like, I need a logo. I really don't have one.
Well, it served you well.
It served me well.
And now it's time to kind of spruce it up. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's okay too. So, but there is a little bit of research I like to tell people. There's research out there that if businesses don't spend time investing in their brand up front, they will spend more money in the long run.
Oh, absolutely.
Trying to fix it. So first you need a brand. Then, you know, to do a website, it can be costly. It can be. But, you know, people try to find, you know, friends or, you know, your friend's son who's in high school and he's pretty good with computers and all those types of things. And that's all A-okay. But what we find out, a lot of clients end up coming to us because of the accountability factor. They didn't have enough time to finish it. It's been 6 months. I haven't seen anything. And so what we like to tell people is, you know, we're always here. So again, a website is an investment. And, you know, and for people like you, to find your Facebook page or to actually sign up for subscriptions or to do business on your website, that's a no-brainer, right? But I think a lot of people who think that their business is brick and mortar, they don't care about their website necessarily. They don't go to their own website and they think it's just a placeholder and it's just there. And that's the wrong thinking too, because everybody is always researching a business, whether the business is e-commerce business or not.
Yep.
You know, so back in the day, you had to have a website, you know, just for integrity. Now it's like, if you don't have a great looking website, then people are starting to judge you like, look at this website.
Or that Gmail email address.
Right. But we're all design experts now, right? I mean, we inherently make a judgment about a piece of advertising or a website based on how it looks and functions. You know, if you're frustrated on a website, you're not going to come back. So, I mean, everybody needs a good website.
So a couple months ago, I had another flower farmer, Tracy Kutcher, who she is a client experience specialist. So you can get certified in that. She had, I think she was like business owner of the year for multiple years in the state of New Jersey or something for her toy store.
Wow.
And so it was a really fun episode as she's now building her flower farm kind of in a second career. But we talked all about customer and client experience, not just, you know, she's like, people think it's customer satisfaction or people think it's, you know, but no, she's like, it's client experience. And I went through and I actually had some friends just completely, you know, people who don't live locally, so they never buy my flowers, have never really spent time on my website. They support me from afar on my Facebook page or whatever, but they're like, yeah, no offense, I've never looked at your website because I don't live close enough to buy flowers. I'm like, okay, go on my website and pretend you're a potential bride. Or pretend you're, you know, just see how easy it is. Is it simple? And that was very eye-opening, as you know, but I created these contact forms and I'm trying to make it easier. But to me, a website needs to make it easy to be your customer.
Right. Right. If you're making it hard or they just can't find your phone number, everyone put your phone number on the top of the website, please. Especially if you're retail, then they're not going to buy from you.
Because they're not going to look up the hours. They're just going to call you, even though you try to put it on there.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it's not an afterthought. It should be, you know, a first thought. And when we're talking about social media and things, your website is the hub of your online presence. If you think of a spokes of a wheel, the hub is your website. The spokes is everything else. Your emails, your Facebook, your Instagram, your TikTok, mm-hmm. or whatever. But your, you know, website has to be number one. The other thing that I wanted to point out is, you know, you're kind of beating yourself up about your own marketing, is that it's not a one and done thing either.
No.
A website is a living, breathing, you know, I want to say organism, but it's not. Yeah. It's a website. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's going to need to be changed. It's going to need to be updated. Mm-hmm. So when people ask me how often they should update their website, well, you should be updating it all the time and maintaining it. But, you know, 3 to 5 years is pretty ancient for a website. Mm-hmm. After 3 years, 4 years, you'd be thinking about, reprogramming it and redoing it. And that's because of all the good things that Google makes us do to be found. But I tell people that you should always have a line item in your budget every year for your website. Not necessarily to redesign it every year, but to maintain it, to do SEO, mm-hmm. to keep it up to date. Because like anything else, if you don't maintain it, it's going to break. Mm-hmm. And websites break. Things stop working and you might not realize it, especially if you're not on your own website or nobody tells you.
Yeah. Like when I log in to see my analytics and I see that the number one viewed page is error 404. I'm like, where is that coming from? Clearly there's something broken on my website that nobody has told me. And that page has like 1,000 views a month. I'm like, oh crap, there's a link somewhere yeah. that people are clicking on that doesn't work.
Right. And hopefully it's not your contact form.
Yeah, exactly. Or weird. Nobody bought flowers this month.
Or pay here.
The checkout page is, no, I don't know.
And if you have a shopping cart, you really need maintenance. Yeah. And that is not necessarily DIY. I mean, mm-hmm. that's when you need somebody to help you maintain that website. Make sure links aren't broken. Software plugins, these little widgets that make your website easy to use, like calendars and shopping carts. And contact forms, those are all little pieces of software that can get updated and then they break.
And if you don't update them, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, your phone, your app, whatever. Like you yep. need to, I always get the, I'm the person who gets the notifications. Okay, we've asked you how many times now. It's a forced update. Like yeah. your iPhone is going to update the next time you plug it in. I don't care if it's noon on a Thursday. We're going to update your software because you've been ignoring it for 6 months.
The other thing about website plugins that don't get updated, hackers have figured out a way that that's how they can get into your website. And you might think, well, who wants to hack into my flower farm website? But they don't care. No. All of a sudden, one day you might, go to your website and there's some nice pornographic images there.
Oh, yeah, let's not do that.
Which could sell more flowers.
Yeah, but, I could. But,
we don't really want to test that.
Yeah. yeah. No, that's so. We're not this kind of podcast.
You know, another thing I hear people say is, well, I spent X amount of money 3 years ago. I'm not going to spend any more money on my website. And that's just the wrong idea. Again, think about your car. Mm-hmm. You just spent $40,000 on a car and you're not going to get the oil change. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I mean, updating, you're not. If you do the website right, you don't have to tear it all down and start over mm-hmm. every year, obviously. But maintaining it, keeps it relevant, keeps it good with the search engines, mm-hmm. keeps the software updated, prevents hackers from getting in, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks. Is there a website platform that you recommend would be best for getting started? And, you know, we already talked about all the benefits of not DIYing it, but if someone is bound and determined to DIY it, at least for a while, and then hopefully once they do, okay, yep, I'm ready to, no, I want to spend my time making flowers, not updating my website, or I want to spend my time with my clothes or with my whatever their passion is that they got into business for. And then it's not completely reinventing the wheel, or it's easier for someone else to manage. Where would you recommend we get started?
Well, when customers come to me and they want me to do it, we recommend WordPress. And WordPress is a content management system platform. So it's really easy to update it. So we build the site in WordPress, and WordPress comes with templates and themes, so you can try to DIY it yourself, and many people do. But we use it as kind of the launching pad of building a custom website with WordPress, and we do that because it's open source, so there's a lot of research done on it. There's a lot of plugins that can work with it. It can grow with your business. There's a lot of good things about WordPress. However, if you have to DIY it at first, you know, Wix or Squarespace is fine. And if you have an e-commerce site, Shopify is good. It's just not as DIY friendly as people are kind of believed to be. It's still hard. I mean, all the parts of a website, you still have to decide what should be on your homepage, what your navigation should be. You still have to write it all. You still have to get the images. You know, they kind of, the canned part is the programming. Well, there's it's just not as intuitive as people think, you know? Yeah, so you can do it. Does it look good? Is it a good customer experience? You know, and another benefit by getting someone else to help you is, you know, you're in your business every day. Are you describing it to the layperson correctly? And that's one thing, like, you know, when we meet with clients, I want to know all about their business, but in a way I don't want to know everything. I want to know what I think, and then I want to kind of present it that way, because sometimes when we're in it, you can't see the forest for the trees. And I can attest to just doing our website a year ago, and we continue to update it. We are our worst client. It's just impossible. What do we do? What do I say? What, you know, it can be tough.
Well, and I think, you know, for me, when I'm trying to update something on, you know, my coaching page or my podcast website, which you and I met about a month ago, and we kind of were like, and it was more as, you know, friends and the networking and kind of a one-to-one. I wouldn't say that it was probably your formal, I didn't get the full Kelly Moxie creative treatment, because that wasn't what it was. But, you know, it helped me realize that, okay, the Sunny Marymeadow Flower Farm and then now this coaching and podcast are two entirely different things. The podcast and the coaching. And so actually I've decided.
Three things.
They're three things. Yeah, exactly. But I've decided the podcast is, you know, part of the coaching. And I had tried to retrofit the podcast on the farm website. I'm like, you know, it needs to be on that one. Like I almost need to just, there can be a tab that can, did you come here looking for this? Go here. But that's it. Cause it's just too much, too busy on there.
Right.
But here's an example of me trying to like DIY that coaching page by myself. And again, Kelly and I got taught, we're starting small. Like we're doing the logos. We're getting there. But, you know, I'll try to upload a photo and I'm like, okay, go into Dropbox, because I had this photographer taking these photos and now the file size is too big. Okay, now I'm trying to do it from my phone and now it's a live photo. So I have to take a screenshot of it because the size and the resolution are off. And I mean, Abby, podcast producer, can attest, because I'll text her things and I'm like, I'm going to throw my computer against the wall. And she's like, oh, what'd you do? I'm like, I just literally tried to upload a photo. And why am I doing that stuff? I am not the expert.
Right.
And what am I doing?
And it took you probably twice as long.
It took me, twice as long is very generous. Yeah.
Again, I don't know why. We're believed to think that, you know, marketing should be DIY. I mean, it's kind of like when I started, for me, it was the opposite. It was accounting. Me trying to do my accounting.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I had a business coach that said, sure, Kelly, you can do your accounting, but should you be?
Yeah. And I started doing buckets of flowers for DIY brides. I mean, I'm doing some flowers for Kelly's wedding. So, yeah, Yay. In August. And this is a perfect example, too. you know, it's, people were like, well, I want, you know, buckets of flowers and this is how many bouquets I need and this is how many vases. And I had a couple people say, you didn't give me enough flowers. And I'm like, no, you just didn't know what to do with them. I gave you plenty of flowers. You had enough ingredients and you wanted to DIY it. And you shoved 30 stems in a vase when I can do a lot with 8 stems.
Right.
Because I know how to arrange them. And that's kind of like, I mean, even if it's a contractor, a builder, you can get all the materials, but and maybe someone thinks, oh, well, posting something on Facebook isn't rocket science, or posting, you know, making a bouquet. Okay, fine. Then you do it. That's fine. And we're not for everyone. And not everyone is going to hire me to arrange their flowers because they are going to think they can do better. Not everyone's going to hire you to do their website because they think they can do better. But
the products will be different.
The products will be different.
Yep. And that fee, just like that bride didn't think she could afford it, mm-hmm. but probably after she did, it would have looked better mm-hmm. and would have been a very small part of her budget.
And it would not have been so stressful.
Yes, like, exactly.
Do you want to spend the day before your wedding? I mean, right. Kelly, do you want to spend the day before your wedding making arrangements?
I really don't, but I want I want you to come, and I just want to be there and watch you.
Yeah, exactly. But you acknowledge that you're paying for an enjoyable experience. You can come out to the farm in June. And I can, like, that's what I'm offering to a bride.
Right.
In June, I'll be like, hey, Kelly, these are your flowers. Ooh. They're coming along. Right. Or, you know, here's a picture of the dahlia tuber that's going to turn. And you're immersed in that experience. And you understand that when you're buying flowers from a local farmer, that's what you're getting. That's part of what you're paying for, is that experience.
And it's not just like, oh, I could grow my own flowers or I can do my own website. What you're paying for is that experience and that expertise that you have learned and you have researched, you know, all of that. And that's the difference between, you know, my team. They are all experts in their field. They're all educated, very experienced. They do a great job. So guess what? They can do it pretty fast and pretty good, and you're going to have way better results. It's not just the act of putting photos and text on a website. Mm-hmm. It's knowing. It's all the other stuff that's intrinsic mm-hmm. in marketing. Just like, oh yeah, I can put that flower in a vase, mm-hmm. but I have no idea how to grow it or what's going to look good. Or
exactly. Yeah. And like, I talk about this all the time. My listeners get so sick of hearing about it, but there's a book that I read a couple months ago and I became a little bit obsessed about it, but it was called Who Not How. And it's finding that person, not figuring out how to do everything. And what could I be doing instead of trying to DIY that website? And for me, there are things that I could be doing that would bring in revenue. I could be reaching out to, because the podcast is getting sponsors now, I could be reaching out to more sponsors. I could be picking up a shift as a nurse practitioner and doing video visits. I could be...
Which could pay for your website.
Exactly, which could pay for my website. So it's like, what could I be doing instead?
Right.
When it would take me 30 hours versus 5 hours. Plus, maybe it's not even something productive that's revenue generating. Maybe it's just time with my kids. It's just going for a run and something that's going to help me. Maybe it's taking a nap, and that's important too.
Right. And I'm not going to, you know, tell people that you're not going to have to put extra hours in or do things that you really don't want to do as a business owner. However, probably didn't decide to be a flower farmer to do a DIY website.
Exactly.
Most of us are technicians that like what they're doing but want to do it on their own. And so, you know, that's what most business owners do. So then we do that, and then we're like, oh crap, now there's all this other stuff of running the business. I'd rather not do that. I mean, it's fun learning about business. We've mm-hmm. talked about that.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy parts of it. And parts of it, I'm like, no way you reconcile the bank account. Like, mm-hmm. I'll put it in there. And if I'm wrong, you fix it. I mean, you just have to have those experts around you to help you do what you love to do. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's why you went into business, right?
I mean, even right now, I'm trying to trademark. I have applied for a trademark for Flower Farmer Forum. Like, I had that conference. It's going to be every other week during the summertime. We're featuring a flower farmer. I filled out the initial portion, but then they come back to you with like all of these questions. And so guess what? I'm having an attorney handle it.
Right,
and
part
of me is like, oh my God, that's so much money. But I don't have the expertise. And I'm smart. I can read a book. Like I can probably figure it out. But what, spend 50 hours trying
to learn? Time is money.
Yeah, exactly. And I think...
And you'll have a better outcome. And that's what people don't understand too. I mean, we get results, you mm-hmm. know, for what we do. And you might think a website doesn't matter, but it does, or any other marketing initiative that we do, is we have the experience, expertise, and we'll get better results. Just like, you know how to grow tulips in the winter.
Yeah.
And I would like tulips, but I'll just buy them from you.
Yeah, perfect. And I'll sell them to you. That's fine. And you can make my logo. We're good. I think that, you know, I'm a millennial that, you know, hustle culture. I mean, for so long we were told to just work harder, just put in more hours, just, you know, outwork. You might not be the most talented, but if you have a stronger work ethic, and I have found that I don't want to build a business on the backbone of the fact that I can outwork people. Like, I don't want to work 70 hours a week. I think when you're getting started as a business owner, even if it's not a business, even if it's a dream, even if it's whatever it is that you're trying to do, yes, some hustle, some overtime, some whatever, but that's not sustainable. And what is the end goal? And for me, it's, I can't keep this up. So what are the things that I'm doing? And I would say for sure in the last year, I have spent a lot of time just auditing my time and realizing, wow, I spend 10 hours a week doing this and I could get that time back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you're unhappy, you're a business owner, you're unhappy, audit your time and see. Because you're probably not doing what you thought you'd be doing as a business owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, we're recording this today. It's Tuesday, April 9th. This episode probably is not going to come out till about May. But starting next week, we have a 3-part mini series, and it's called Should You Start a Flower Farm? Not how to, not can you, not why to, but should you? Mm. And part of it is, you know, one of the whole episodes is, do you enjoy things other than just growing flowers? Do you enjoy learning about things? Because if that's what you want to do, then maybe just go work for someone else that, you know, if you love, you know, doing social media and you worked as a marketer, well, do you want to own a business or do you want to just come work for Kelly? How do you, because there's a lot of other things that go into being the business owner and managing the people and managing, you know, even if they're not W-2 employees, even if they're, you know, contracted 1099s or just dealing with the clients or dealing with the relationships. And it's, the very first hire I had was someone to help with the flowers. And that summer sucked. Granted, I was living in the camper and we didn't have Wi-Fi, and it was, you know, that was while we were building our house. But I realized right away, if this is how I'm going to run this business and hire all of the flower work done, and then I'm doing all the other stuff.
No,
like, this sucks.
You want to flip that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so then now I'm like, okay, how can I hire other people to do all the other stuff? And then I can help, and then I can, you know, but then now it's not reliant on me, but.
Right.
Business ownership. What a joy. So the next thing that I have on my list that I want to talk to you about, because you are an expert on it, and when I have an expert here, I would just want to ask questions, right? Because that's how you learn.
Like, that's right.
Spend your time around people that are smarter than you in different ways, right? Like, that's how you learn. If you hang out with people that think like you and know everything you know, then you're not going to learn. So branding. When I started my logo, my very first like original logo, I think I don't remember if I paid anyone on Etsy or if it was just a free download, or I don't even know where it came from. But that was in the peak farmhouse. It's crisp, clear, white with like black, very thin lettering. Mm-hmm. Sunny Mary Meadow. That ain't me. That is not me at all. I don't know why. I thought that was trendy. I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. I thought people would love to come there. But when you look at that logo and then you meet me and then you come to my farm and I have hot pink doorways and I have murals everywhere and it's, I'm wearing pink flares, like that is not, the brand does not reflect what my business is.
Right. Well, you got it. You know what branding is now, don't you? You know, don't beat yourself up so much. I mean, you were in the infancy of a business. You maybe didn't even know, you know, we don't even know where the business is going to go. So at least you had a logo.
Yeah.
But now you're bringing up the DIY logo thing. Canva is a great tool, but can be dangerous. People are selling all kinds of things on Etsy that are just, I would say, generic logos. And if there's an M in that logo and your business starts with an M and you think it's pretty, then that's a good logo, right? Wrong. So we always say, if you can put your finger over, you know, over the name, and that could be anybody's logo, then it's not your logo. Mm-hmm. So your logo and your brand should be uniquely you. It should embody everything that, you know, you believe in, your, what your business stands for, and all those things. And that can be hard to explain to somebody, But, you know, we just went through this process with a client that is making a product, which is actually moonshine.
Ooh.
And they came to us for labels because they want to bring this to market, right? How fun.
Yeah.
And but we're like, wait, we can't do a label to every logo. And they're like, yeah, but the logo's just on the label. Well, we have to start with the logo. And bringing them through that process was so fun, and how they just think at the end of it now. I mean, and then we did a logo or a label, excuse me. We just showed them the first round of labels. They cried. They're like, this is so us. This is what we're trying to do. This, we got this, we got this. And, you know, but at first they couldn't tell me exactly what they wanted to do. They didn't know themselves, but through the process, we kind of uncovered that. And then, and that's what designers do. Designers, again, aren't just technicians that are, you know, moving a mouse around on a computer. They really interpret and communicate what a client wants through design. It's not just, I don't really say, it's just not art for art's sake. You know, we're not just artsy fartsy. It's it's actually design with a purpose is what we're doing. And I can't wait to show you that label.
Yeah.
But it, you know, might not be your cup of tea or might not be the one I picked, but it's them. And they are proud of it. They're going to promote it. And, you know, it's going to be, especially for that business, a very large part of their success, I hope, you know.
And I think that that's a perfect example of why, I mean, hate is a very strong word. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I hate my logo. Like, it doesn't, it doesn't make me angry, but I don't, I don't like it, and it's not me, and it's time to, and I ended up basically adding some yellow background so it was bright, and like, that's the sign at the end of my driveway. And I think the sign at the end of my driveway is fine because it, you know, it just kind of has the website and Cut Flower Farm and whatever. But I created a logo with the customer in mind, which yes, is important, but I created it thinking, I mean, honestly, they're, you know, so St. Joe is this cute little town that my address is St. Joe, even though I live closer to a couple other towns, but I was like, oh, St. Joe, I need to be, you know, in there. And like, what do the other business logos look like? Okay, I'm going to make my logo look kind of like theirs because I want to be part of that. And that's my target customer, even though, I mean, this is a whole thing and I teach this in my Peddling Perishable Products course, even though I found out pretty quickly that actually my target customer is not from that community because they're all so artsy and they do them themselves. Like they want flowers, they're going to grow their bouquets. My target customers are actually the next town over where they don't have room to do it or they don't, you know, and it's just kind of funny, like everything that I've learned in this journey. But I mean, if I'm being honest, that's where I started my logo was, well, I want it to look like those business logos because I want to be part of that. And those customers. And it's, I mean, it's just, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The white with the black. And
so that was about 3 years ago.
4 years ago.
Okay, perfect time to rebrand. So let's say, you know, I don't want to say a mistake, but let's say your logo no longer suits you, no longer fits what you're doing, then rebrand. That's okay. You know, even businesses have to change their names from time to time, and people get so upset and worried about that. And it's a big decision. I'm not saying just go ahead and change your name, but people get it. Names change, logos change, you know, people will be on board.
Well, and I think when I first started out, and I don't want to sit here and completely, you know, cancel out everything that we just talked about because we are both on the same page. But when I first started out, I had a little farm stand at the end of my driveway and it was supposed to be a side thing. You can get started without a logo or, you know, like if you're starting a brand new business, but as you're trying to scale and make this your livelihood, no, you need a logo.
Right. And if people are, so some signs that you might need a new logo, like, you know, it just doesn't feel like your business. So you have that feeling. And so you want something better. But let's say another business, like people just don't understand what I do. Or I put my logo on a sign and they no one can read it. So no one's stopping by. I mean, it's a lot
Or they don't know what that, what is that?
Like, yeah, I don't know what that means. And so those are all reasons to change your logo too. But it's okay to we call it a rebrand, is to redo it. That's okay.
Yeah.
But hopefully by, you know, 3-4 years later, you have a little bit of money to do that.
Yeah.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah, that's the hope. That hopefully in 3 or 4 years, I can afford to redo this. And and I can. I mean, and it's, you know, as a business owner, anything like this, like, is this where I want to spend my money? And especially, you know, a small business when I'm like, well, this is coming maybe out of the, I mean, you budget for it a little bit, but in some ways it's like, no, this is money out of my pocket that I'm, you know, paying myself a little less now because I'm reinvesting and that's okay too.
And hoping it will come back to you and, you know, other ways.
Yep, exactly. And it will become more clear, more recognized. People will be quicker to mm-hmm. see it, sign up, stop by when they see it or whatever it might be.
So let's talk about those DIY logos. Let's go back. Let's say that you like your logo, but you just need another version of it. Your logo is very circular. It's a circle, right? Let's say you need something more horizontal, or you need something vertical, or you need a little icon, or you just need the proper files and formats.
Yep.
We can take an existing logo and do that. We call it a style guide. We can make you a guide, and we can do some different lockups for you. So
you're not completely starting from scratch.
No, but maybe you did just buy that logo off Etsy and you just got one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. We can take an existing logo and kind of, we could freshen it up if you want to freshen it up. And then we can give you all this, you know. Mm-hmm. There's many different points of starting a brand, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes people think they want to tear it down and start over, and we end up just kind of freshening it up because they kind of liked some things of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. It's not that I hate it, or it's not that other people, you know, it's just you liked it at some point.
Right, like, obviously.
You obviously liked it at some point. And maybe your version of liking it was it's done.
Like, right.
Sometimes done is the bare minimum criteria, and that's okay too, to admit that.
I think I had a business, before Moxie, I had a business for 14 years, and we rebranded 2 or 3 times in 14 years. Didn't change the name, just updated the brand.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. To more accurately reflect what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have in the episode notes, I have everything on there. And then actually up and coming now, every single podcast episode is in a blog form. So you can find the written information there. And, you know, so if you go to the episode notes, we'll have the link to the blog, link to all of Kelly's contact information. Tell her I sent you. Like, just go on there and say, hey, I have a flower farm and I need a rebrand for my logo. Can we chit chat? Like, her contact's on there.
Great. Thank
you. Cannot recommend her enough. 10 out of 10. So anything else that we want to add?
No, just
okay.
Good luck, everyone.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I hope this was helpful, informative. If you have further questions about creating a website, you can check out the blog and definitely, you know, go look up Moxie Creative and see what information they have on there. And hopefully this is a good place to get started. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers, but the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.